Detective Carl Merck's world collapses when he's arrested by his own colleague, Chief of Homicide Marcus Jacobson, and thrown into Vestra Prison. The charges against him are devastating: murder, corruption, theft, and drug dealing. The evidence? A suitcase full of drugs and cash that Carl had stored for his former colleague Anker Heyer, unaware of its contents. As Carl adjusts to prison life, guards treating him with contempt, inmates recognizing him as a cop, a well-groomed visitor delivers a chilling message in the prison yard. People believe Carl knows too much and want him silenced. The threat extends to his family. Before Carl can process this, five men force open his cell door, beating him severely and attempting to stage his suicide with a noose. Just as consciousness fades, another prisoner named Malfa bursts in and savagely attacks the assailants, saving Carl's life. Behind Carl's imprisonment lies a sophisticated criminal organization with tentacles reaching deep into law enforcement. Eddie Jansen, a Dutch police officer corrupted years ago, coordinates the attempted murder through a corrupt guard. Eddie's descent began innocently, losing his family cabin to foreclosure, then accepting it back from a mysterious man with heterochromatic eyes in exchange for minor police information. What started as small favors escalated until Eddie became entangled in drug money operations and nail gun murders. Now he maintains detailed records as insurance while continuing to serve his criminal masters. When the attempt on Carl's life fails, Eddie receives devastating news. His prison contact demands double payment, and his employers are losing patience. Despite orders against involvement, Carl's team mobilizes to save him. Gordon researches from the office, Assad investigates connected cases, and Rose approaches the police complaints authority. Rose discovers the passat used in his lawyer's murder was stolen using key cloning technology. Assad finds a homeless witness who reveals murdered mechanics Nick and Jake sold drugs, mentioning Rasmus, a Dutch-Danish supplier, likely explaining the threats that drove Carl into hiding. Carl's wife Mona confronts Marcus Jacobson about her husband's safety and strikes a deal with Gossip magazine to counter the smear campaign. At Schlagelsee Remand Center, Malta is assigned as Carl's bodyguard, but secretly plans to kill him for payment to fund his brother Hansi's medical care. When Malta attacks Carl, attempting to break his neck, Carl defends himself with a Coke can, then surprisingly offers to help secure money for Hansi's surgery in exchange for protection. Wayne Peters began manipulating others at age 4, falsely accusing classmates of theft. By 12, deception became his specialty, eventually leading him to murder his father by swapping heart medication with nitroglycerin pills. Starting with prostitution in Amsterdam, Peters expanded into cocaine, heroin, and money laundering. Despite accumulating 50 million euros by 30, he retreated to an unremarkable house in Kinderdijk while secretly controlling Europe's largest cocaine network through legitimate appearing shipping offices. His organization runs with mechanical precision. Suspected informants face surveillance before vanishing. Betrayers meet elaborate deaths, as seen in the Copenhagen Christmas incident, where a traitor was displayed as a department store Santa surrounded by gift-wrapped body parts of his security team. Wayne's fixation on Carl stems from a 2007 incident when cocaine worth 3.2 million disappeared in a Danish port raid. What makes Wayne truly dangerous is his invisibility. Neighbors know him only as Henrik van der Meer, a duck-feeding retired accountant. A massive explosion targets Carl's cell at Schlagelsee Remand Center. Injured but mobile, Carl helps wounded Malta escape before the ceiling collapses. Realizing he was the target, Carl takes Malta's shoes and finds Assad waiting in Kenneth's bullet-riddled car. They pursue the attackers until their Volvo is destroyed by a drone missile. Despite broken ribs, Carl continues on foot. When the suspects fire at an arriving military helicopter, Carl shoots out their Mercedes tires. A news drone captures everything live, exposing Carl nationwide when he's supposed to be dead. The grainy footage of an armed Karl Merck in military attire triggers a media frenzy, transforming him from prisoner to fugitive. The collapsed prison walls symbolize how boundaries between law and criminality have crumbled, as Karl must now prove his innocence while the entire country watches. Rose discovers Carl's memory problem isn't forgetting, it's never knowing the truth. She suspects someone close fears his memory returning. The culprit is Benta Hansen, Carl's trusted colleague of 20 years. Behind her detective badge, she runs a European drug trafficking operation. Despite millions offshore, she continues this double life not for money, but for the thrill of balancing two worlds. When Carl uncovers her betrayal, Gordon is devastated. Carl insists on confronting her directly, playing into her hands. Benta retrieves a hidden weapon and contacts hitman Thom Luce to kill Carl upon arrival. Benta's betrayal cuts deeper than any physical wound. The colleague who shared coffee and cases with him for years orchestrated multiple attempts on his life. This forces us to question how well we know our daily associates. Sometimes the most dangerous enemies aren't those who openly oppose us. They're those who smile while plotting our destruction. Desperate to protect his family, Eddie concocts an outlandish plan, infecting them with COVID-19 as an excuse to isolate them somewhere safe. At the hospital, he collects used tissues from a sick woman and inhales deeply, showing how far cornered man will go. The organization's reach is terrifying, and their methods brutal. Each failed attempt to eliminate Carl only strengthens their resolve to silence him permanently. Department Q's efforts stand out for their unwavering loyalty amid corruption. While powerful figures work to bury Carl, these three individuals risk everything for truth, proving that often the strongest resistance comes from those with the least institutional power. This unlikely alliance between would-be killer and target demonstrates how desperation forges connections in improbable circumstances. In prison's brutal ecosystem, Carl learns that survival sometimes means trusting those who've given every reason not to. After the final confrontation, Carl is exonerated while Bente is arrested. Headlines declare Carl Merck is a free man as his family rallies around him. When visiting Malta Birdiegaard in prison, they learn Murete had funded his brother's operation. She was a guardian angel. Though safe at home, Carl can't sleep. Pain radiates through his ribs as he toggles between rage at human cruelty and gratitude for others' loyalty. Despite Mona suggesting time off, Carl feels drawn back to the investigation unit. His experiences have blurred the lines between guilt and innocence, making him question his future. When he mentions quitting, Assad pledges to leave too, while Rose suggests documenting their department's work. At his computer, Carl struggles with where to begin. After several false starts, Mona suggests writing from the victim's perspective, highlighting Carl's ability to inhabit multiple mindsets. He begins The Keeper of Lost Causes, starting a new chapter. Carl discovers justice comes in different forms, through convictions, but also by preserving stories that might otherwise fade. By becoming a chronicler, he finds a new path to honor victims and truth.